Thank you, Mr. Bowles. Best wishes to everyone, wherever you are. Hope our friends down in the southeast are okay. They've had the worst of the weather recently. If things had been like anything like that down in the West Country, we wouldn't have been here today either. The sermonette I want to cover today is, I suppose, in the vein of difficult scripture, a study of difficult scripture. But it's really the fact that we use the King James Version of the Bible as our preferred study Bible, or we like to call it the British Authorised Version, to remind everyone about our supremacy. This version, of course, dates from King James I of England, also James VI of Scotland, from 1611. It was produced by the efforts of between 40 and 50 translators, working from the best available manuscripts in the original Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew. And of course, they compared the few existing translations that were available in English, particularly the one by William Tyndale, who his work had been 1525 to 1536. This courageous man had been forced to leave England to continue his work of producing a translation, or from translation in part, and actually lost his life because of it. He was strangled at the instructions of Henry VIII of multiple wife fame, the first British king to receive the title of Defender of the Faith. So he defended the faith in this instance by having a faithful man, a man presumably who was not converted, but certainly I think was used by God, to be strangled and then burnt at the stake, to encourage the other translators, no doubt. This version is easily the most influential English version, combining as it does integrity in the main, beauty of language, the dignity. There are a few errors which over the last 400 plus years have been well documented, and the biggest problem for us now using this honest to goodness translation is the fact that English has gone on to enormous extent. It's expanded to a world language because of a few cousins across the pond and others, far exceeding the influence of a small island, and the language has evolved and changed. Now, amazingly, the King James English is still has an impact and a vitality to this day, but the Bible has many words which have gone out of ordinary, everyday usage. And these archaic words, probably in many instances, we only know because of the Bible. They would have been dropped a long time ago were it not for the Bible. This was recently brought home to us. We were listening in our front room down in Plymouth to a sermon from Mr. Bowles, and he referred to us Isaiah 32. If you could turn with me, please. Isaiah chapter 32. It's a chapter we frequently look to about the return of the establishment of Christ's kingdom and the wonderful situation that will then exist. And there is a warning about how the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bound for. So we have this interesting thing of liberal and churl. Now, churl is not normally a word you bandy around anymore. We are told in the Oxford Dictionary that it's an ill-bred person, and then they mentioned the second, archaic, a peasant, a person of low birth. In our wonderfully democratic times, we don't talk about people very much as being of low birth. And three, archaic again, a surly or mean person. Of course, being English, mean can have several different meanings. Again, a low person, a mean person, or a niggardly, selfish person. The Strong's explanation of what this word churl is taken from refers in the sense of withholding, niggardly, a mean person, a deceiver. And the New King James Translation renders this a foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful, which is a lot easier for us to understand nowadays. I was already befuddled by the surly peasant bit of this section of scripture, and then we read on and conclude in verse 8, which is I fell off the chair and woke up with. I don't expect anybody else had the same problem as I did, but I heard the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall stand. And I thought, in view of the church's history and attitude towards liberals, I'm sure that should say shall fall by their devices. Because, again, liberal here is used in the sense of generous. But Mr. Armstrong used to wax eloquent about those evil liberals who were playing fast and loose with the way they used traditional beliefs, were a major force in upsetting the beliefs, the traditional beliefs of the church, invalidating what we believed by their modern thinking. So something that really is quite clear, I managed to get confused on. The other interesting words, which for years when I was studying the Bible I didn't bother to check, and I fell into error over my misunderstanding of the word froward. Froward, it's so close to the word forward. And forward is not exactly a compliment, but it's not normally something which you get in a temper or a rage or indignant about. It means someone who's precocious, a little forward possibly, at the very worst presumptuous. But froward means much worse. It's perverse, difficult to deal with, rebellious. So again, even thinking we know what a word is because of apparent familiarity, it can provide a pitfall from us. And then of course, over these 400 years, some words have changed their meaning. I think the example that comes to mind without even stopping to think is prevent. The way it is used in First Thessalonians, it doesn't mean stop, it means precede. And the other thing, common usage, not a major problem, but something which makes me stop and look, the use of the word meat, for example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. That was food. We now think of meat as flesh of an animal, not just meal or a meal, food, the whole lot, but we think now meat as specifically the flesh for eating from an animal. So to consider, when we are faced with studying the Bible, I don't suggest that we stop using the King James as our major study Bible. It has the integrity. Most of the study helps are based upon it. The hymns we sing are based on that language. God's word has always been open to misunderstanding. We can only understand it by our obedience to God and by honest, faithful, diligent study. We know in our recent history, over the last 20 years, how a modern translation in particular, was used to cause confusion in our former association. The use of modern language was used to confuse. But when we are reading difficult verses to be understood, let's not neglect to check the translations, the other more recent translations. And the examples I used today, I found that the New King James Version was easier to read. The King James, I think, still stands supreme. But let's use all the tools available to us and continue to enjoy our study.